Australian pop star and actor Olivia Newton-John died yesterday. She was 73. Best known for her iconic performance opposite John Travolta as Sandy in the 1978 movie musical Grease, she was already a popular, easy-listening singer with several hit songs when she was cast in the film. In 1981, her poppy dance hit Physical became her biggest hit and spent 10 weeks on the Billboard Hot 100. After learning she had breast cancer in 1992, she became an advocate for research into the disease. I spoke with her in 2011 when a Northeast tour brought her to the Palace Theater in Albany, New York.
I realize that this is your 40th year in music, which seems not believable, but yet it is.
Yeah, amazing. I feel so grateful that I can still hit a note and still sing and have fun doing it.
How much of that is a struggle of being able to keep the instrument, to keep the voice where you want it to be?
I'm very lucky in that I have a wonderful singing coach who works me out, and I have a tape that I work to, and it's really been amazing. And, you know, in my youth, I never did warm-ups because I was just working all the time. But then after I had my daughter, I had some voice troubles and started doing exercises. And now it's just like any other muscle. You got to keep it in shape. And that's been really a gift to me to learn all that.
And I've heard some artists talk about how the aging process actually gives their voice a nuance and a resonance that they like, that there is a maturity to it that is welcome in some cases.
Yeah. Well, I think it's life experience, you know, like everything in a human being, life experience enriches you in every way. And I think it comes through in your voice. And also, you know, everyone's voice, I believe, drops a little bit too as they get older. And that gives you another range to sing in. At least for me, you're more concerned about getting the message over. I always have been, but I've always been a perfectionist, and I would freak out if, you know, things weren't perfect. But now I'm a little less critical of myself, which is a good thing.
But do you think you would be where you were and you would still be here 40 years after beginning this career if you weren't so critical on yourself?
Maybe not. Yes, I think that's true. And I had wonderful producers. I've been very, very fortunate with the people around me in my life. I had John Farrow, who wrote amazing songs for me and produced amazing songs for me, and Stevie Kipner, who wrote for me. A lot of Australians around me, when I look back at them, they're all Aussies, and good managers. I've been really, really fortunate, and I guess I've trusted my instincts in a lot of cases and been luckily right. And you make mistakes too, but that's all part of the learning curve.
Is it essential to have, I guess not essential, but is it a help to have a memory attached with a song?
I think for me, every time I sing a song, I have a different thought behind it. It's like each song is a little vignette. Each song is a little journey, a story. And I don't always think of the same thing. But I create something in my mind to make them real, you know, and that is something I've always done subconsciously and didn't really think about it very much until recently, but it is like a journey through a song. I'm always thinking about something that brings it to life for me.
as I mentioned when we were talking about the various artists, your career, your musical taste has been very diverse, is very diverse. And that just shows a great interest in music of all types, and you've been able to embrace that.
Yes, I do like all kinds of music. I mean, I find in every genre there's somebody I can like, and it's all part of music, and it's really interesting how music keeps growing and changing, and they keep finding different fields and sounds, and it's really incredible how much music there is. I mean, when I was starting out in the 70s, 60s and 70s, there was lots of music, but you'd buy a CD, an album rather, and you'd sit down and play that album over and over. You wouldn't turn on the radio and have 60 different artists with one track. It was more like one artist and you followed that artist. Just a different, very different time musically. And any kind of music you can find for any of your taste, there's a station for you. It's quite unbelievable to me, the diversity of it now.
You mentioned that the quality of sitting down and listening to it, but I remember as a kid, my friends getting together like a large group, a family activity of putting the Grease soundtrack on and just belting it out.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when I was a kid, I used to, with my friends, we used to get the South Pacific album and perform all the songs, all the musical songs. I remember doing that when I was a young girl. It was so much fun.
Is it a thrill to be a part of something like Grease that is so enduring, that it is so lasting in its influence on new generations, and the music is still out there and still loved?
Yes, it's been a gift to me, really, to have that iconic movie as, you know, in my life, because I have young girls come to the show now, you know, 7 and 8, and they come with their grandmothers. So it stretches across all the generations, and it's so loved by people. That's a good feeling.
What was your biggest hit?
It would be between Physical and You're the One That I Want, I think, because both of the, you know, big international hits. I don't really know exactly, truthfully, but I think those two popped in my mind.
Do you ever know what it is that will strike a chord? I mean, did you think that Physical would hit?
I knew it was either going to be a total hit or a total flop, and it actually freaked me out. And I remember after I'd recorded it, I rang my manager and I said, I think I've gone too far. I think it's too out there. I think it's too bold, and let's not release it. And he said, too late. And it had gone to radio, and it went to like number one in like a couple of weeks. And then, you know, I learned to love it, and I was just so afraid of it. I said, well, let's do a video, and let's make it about exercise. And of course, that became even bigger. So it's really kind of funny when I look back at, very often the things you're the most afraid of are the things that do the best.
Yeah, and I'm interested in you saying that you learn to like it. I mean, even now you have an affection for it, and I assume part of that is because of the success and also the artistic achievement.
Oh, of course I do. I mean, I always liked it, but I was just afraid of it because it was bold. It was a bold statement at its time. You know, now it's really, really nothing, but at its time it was bold.
My 2011 interview with Olivia Newton-John. The actor and singer died yesterday at the age of 73. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.